This morning, I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, where I was two Sundays ago. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. That verse basically tells us why we are here this morning and what the church is all about. To give glory to God, not to man. We honor men. We honor the fathers that are here today. That's a good thing, to honor people. But we don't give glory to anybody but God. And the apostle would say, unto him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. Now, why would we want to give God glory? Why would we want to do that? Well, first of all, this morning, I want to consider the fact that He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Don't y'all think He deserves some respect and glory? How many of us could create anything? But God created in 6 days the heavens and the earth. And He did it with His voice. He said, let it be, and it was so. Our founding fathers here in the United States of America all believed in the Creator. You know, there was a time in American history when it would have really been unnecessary, I guess redundant, for a pastor to get up and teach on the creation. Because the vast majority of the population of America believed that there is a God and that He created the heavens and the earth. And when our founding fathers were being inspired to write the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States does not mention God, because our founding fathers did not want a state religion like European countries had. Our founding fathers didn't want one religion to just dictate to everybody. They wanted to have freedom of religion. How many of y'all are thankful for that today? Now, they didn't mention God in the Constitution, but in the Declaration of Independence, where our founding fathers were justifying the Revolution, the American Revolution, and rebelling against the King of England, they did bring up the Creator. They basically said in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal. See, that was a new thought in a world where there was all kinds of inequities. They believed that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their what? Their Creator, not by their parents, but by their Creator, with certain unalienable rights. Among those was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How many of y'all this morning are thankful for our founding fathers? Amen. I am. And I grew up in a time in America when we honored them. We respected George Washington. We referred to him as the father of our country. Not biologically, but in many ways, he was the father of the United States of America. And I believe today that you and I should still honor our founding fathers and praise God and thank God for the insight that He gave them concerning creation. And our founding fathers recognized that our freedoms do not come from the King of England. They come from the Creator. How many of y'all understand that today? And there were a lot of people in the colonies that were still wanting to be loyal to the King of England. But our founding fathers had reached the point where they realized that God had given us freedoms that the King was not granting us. And I believe they had every right to rebel. And I honor the American Revolution and what was accomplished in that. But today, beloved, that's not true. We have millions of people in America who are either agnostics and say they don't know if there's a God or not, or atheist. I have three preacher friends whose sons were brought up in church just like all of us were, went off to college, and came back atheist, announcing to mom and dad, there is no God. I don't believe in God anymore. Now, I want to tell you, that is alarming. And if the sons of preachers can be brainwashed like that, what about all the other kids that never do go to church? They're not taught anything much. It's alarming. And I believe Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the founding verse of all of Scripture. That's the preamble of the Bible. That's the foundation on which all other Scripture rests. In the beginning, not of God, because God had no beginning, but in the beginning of time. See, before Genesis 1, there was no such thing as time. You didn't have hours and minutes and seconds. But God created time. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you say, well, Brother Sam, that's not scientific. Well, I want to say this morning about science. I have a lot of respect for science. How about y'all? We wouldn't have air conditioning today if it wasn't for science. How many of y'all appreciate the air conditioner? Come on now. Y'all stay with me. How many of y'all appreciate automobiles? How many of y'all appreciate refrigeration? How many of y'all enjoy your cell phones? Now I'm getting close to everybody. I read the other day the average American touches his phone at least 250 times a day. I mean, it's become our pacifier. It's become a necessity, right? It's no longer a luxury. And all of that is a result of science. And I want to tell you, the Bible is not against science. Science is the study of God's creation. And science, true science, has been able to harness what God put in the creation, such as electricity. How many of y'all are thankful for electricity? Well, science has given us that. And you say, well, Brother Sam, the creation account is not scientific. And I agree with that. For something to be scientific, it's either got to be observed under scientific conditions, or it's got to be demonstrated in the laboratory under scientific observation. Now, I want to tell you, nobody was present when God created the heavens and the earth. I know I'm old, but I don't go back that far. Nobody else observed it. God Himself was alone when He created the heaven and the earth. And today, you and I can't go into a laboratory and demonstrate creation, how it was done. We can't do that. So you say, well, if it's not based on science, how do you believe in it? I believe in it by faith. The Bible says that faith is to the soul what eyes are to the body. Paul would say in Hebrews chapter 11, so then he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, listen now, the evidence of things not seen. My faith in God enables me to believe in things I haven't seen. But I've got news for you this morning, if you'll stay with me a moment. Evolution is not scientific. Nobody was present when the Big Bang took place. You know anybody that was there to witness that? And they certainly cannot demonstrate atheistic evolution in the laboratory. That cannot be done. So I contend that the evolutionists, the atheistic evolutionists, are believing in their theory by faith and not by sight. Let me read you something I wrote in the front of my Bible years ago. Atheism is the belief that there was once absolutely nothing. And nothing and nothing got together and magically exploded for no reason into something that became magically everything and everywhere. And they want to laugh at us believing in Genesis 1? Come on, y'all see that, don't you? Don't you know? You could convince me that automobiles out in our parking lot just came together by accident and random chance easier than you could convince me the universe came to existence by random chance. Many years ago, I was stuck in the Nairobi airport for 30 hours. I wouldn't recommend that for anybody. It was a mix-up in scheduling. And let me tell you, the Nairobi airport in Kenya is not like the Atlanta airport. So I was very depressed when I found out I'm here for 30 hours. Not a decent place to eat, nowhere to sleep, nowhere to take a bath. So I went to the prayer room. And I did what I try to encourage people to do. I started praying to God and saying, Lord, please help. I'm stuck. I've been to Delta. I have begged them to reroute everything. They can't do it. So I'm here for the duration. And all of a sudden, it came into my mind while I was in the prayer room, Sam, this airport is an international airport. It's full of people from all over the world, interesting people. You need to get out there and meet them and talk to them. Brother Michael Goins went with me one time to Africa, and he called me the Larry King of the Primitive Baptist Church, because I want to tell you, I like talking to people. What about y'all? And listen, most people will talk to you if you'll talk about them. So I just enjoyed talking to people, you know, and there was this one lady in particular that I enjoyed visiting with. She was from China, and she had come to Africa to help provide safe drinking water in Kenya. And we got to talking, and I shared with her that I was a minister, and she said, well, I'm an atheist. You know, she was very bold about it. She didn't hesitate to tell me she was an atheist. And I said, well, now that's interesting. You just believe everything here just came into existence. And she said, yes, it's all by random chance. So I took my wristwatch and I said, now, I'm going to tell you something. I found my wristwatch in my backyard. I was just kicking around one day, and there it was. And nobody designed it, nobody built it, nobody put it together. There was no intelligence behind it. It all just came together. The minute hand, the hour hand, the second hand, the crystal, it all just came together by accident. I said, do you believe that? She said, no. I said, well, you realize there is a big clock in this universe. My clock, it's a Timex special. Let me tell you, I love it. And I know y'all appreciate I got one in the pulpit. But let me tell you, it has to be adjusted every once in a while. It'll lose a little time or gain a little time. But I said to her, I said, do you know there's a clock in the universe that our scientists set the great nuclear clocks by? And it's the movement of the heavenly bodies in relationship to each other. You see, time is measured by movement. And when God created the heavens and the earth, He put the sun in its place. He put the moon in its place. He put all the planets in their orbits around the sun. He put all the stars where he wanted them, and they all move in perfect harmony with one another, and they're never early and never late. You know what would happen if the sun was 2 seconds late coming up? It would be in the headlines in Shanghai, London, Paris. I mean, people would be panicking. What's going on with the sun? But it's never early, never late. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Who do y'all think put that clock up there? It wasn't man. It wasn't Bolivar. It was the God that we've gathered here this morning to worship. And I say, if he created the heavens and the earth and sustains it till this hour, he deserves the glory for it. And the theory of atheistic evolution is just an attempt by wicked men to rob God of the glory that he is worthy of. Two philosophers many years ago, before they had telescopes, theorized. They knew the planet was orbiting and rotating, and one philosopher said, I think it's sitting on a pointed spear. And people applauded that theory because that kind of made sense. Since the earth is rotating, it must be on a pointed spear. And the other philosopher asked the question you're not supposed to ask. He said, now what is the spear sitting on? Are y'all with me? I mean, down there somewhere is nothing but the hand of God. And the Bible says God hung the earth on nothing. You ever tried to hang anything on nothing? Try to hang a handkerchief on nothing. You can't do it. But God hung the earth on nothing. And sadly, preachers across this land today need to occasionally address this subject of creation, because many of our colleges and many of our professors, not all of them, thank God, but many of them feel like it's their duty to question the existence of God. And beloved, I don't want any child in this church going off to school not knowing and understanding the Creator of heaven and earth. Our founding fathers understood it. And that's basically why they incorporated all of these wonderful freedoms into our Constitution. It's like no other document, no other constitution in the history of the world. They didn't want a state religion like Italy's got. They didn't want a state religion like England had. They wanted a country where people could worship God according to the convictions of their own hearts. But they acknowledged the existence of the Creator. Y'all feel like God ought to get some glory? Or do y'all just take it for granted? He's God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, my friends. I like that song, How Great Thou Art. Y'all, let's sing that at the end of the service. Now, we not only give God the glory in creation, but we give him the glory in salvation. I want to turn with you a moment to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. Where the prophet Isaiah would say, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. In this verse, the prophet Isaiah is telling us that God not only created us, but he also redeemed us. And how did he redeem us? He redeemed us by giving his son to leave heaven and come down to this earth to be born of the Virgin Mary, to live a perfect sinless life that you and I could not live, and then take that perfect sinless life and present it to God as a sacrifice for our salvation. And do y'all believe Jesus got that done? I do. I want to tell you, when God created the heavens and the earth, somebody said one time, I may get on a little shaky ground right here, but one reason why God didn't create woman early on in the creation is because she'd have been trying to tell him how to do it. Have mercy. And one reason it didn't create man early in the creation is because man would have been walking around saying, look what me and God did. I want to tell you, when Adam opened his eyes, after God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Adam beheld a completed, perfect creation. Everything was just like it should have been. He didn't say to Adam, I want you to help me design the wings of the butterfly. I want you to help me design the lilies. No, he did it all. Now, those of you who believe in creation will agree with that. That's all of God. But we have many, many friends, I do, in the religious world, who will agree with me that God created the heavens and the earth right by himself. But when it comes to the salvation of his people, they want to say, well, we had a part in that. Well, I want to tell you, you didn't have any more to do with your going to heaven than you had to do with God creating the heavens and the earth. He did it right by himself. I love what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 1. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I tell you, men today in their Armenian theology want to rob God of his glory in salvation. But I want to tell you, beloved, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. See, if we had any part in our eternal salvation, we'd be tempted to boast. It's not of works. It's all of him. It's all of grace. And when we get to heaven, we're going to give him all the glory for his wonderful work in salvation. Now, let's look at verse 2 here in Isaiah 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. What our God is saying to us there is this. Down here on this earth, as you and I live out our lives on this earth, we're going to go through troubles and trials and tribulations. Can any of y'all witness any of that? We had a long prayer list this morning. All these people are going through trials. They're going through floods and fire of tribulation. We all have them in this life. But the Bible says, he says, I will be with you. You know, in Matthew 1 and 21 and 23, God gives us the two names of our Savior. And the first one is the name Jesus. And why did they call him Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. And he got it done. And when it was over, when his work on the cross was finished, he said, I'm going home. And I don't blame him, do y'all, the way people had treated him down here. And you know where Jesus is today in his body? He's at the right hand of the majesty on high. And nobody can touch him. Nobody can spit on him. Nobody can nail nails in his hands. Nobody can mock him. He is in his glory today. How many of y'all are glad of that? I am. Thank you, little brother. Little brother in the front row said he was glad of it. How about y'all? Are y'all glad that your Savior is now, his suffering is over? He paid the price. He's now at the right hand of the majesty on high. That just thrills me. But you know what? He said, if I go away, I won't leave you comfortless. I will send you the Holy Spirit. And the second name that God gives his Son on this earth is Emmanuel. Right there in Matthew 1:23. And you know what the word Emmanuel means? It means God with us. That just means that God is down here with us through the Holy Spirit. Through all of our trials and tribulations, you may sometimes feel like God has forsaken you, God has forgotten you, but I want to remind you, he hasn't, and he will not. Paul wrote the Hebrews, a wonderful book in the New Testament. And in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew children were passing through great trials. They were first century Christians that had been converted from Judaism to Christianity. And they were being sorely persecuted, not only by the Romans, but by the Jews themselves, who had not had their eyes open to the fact that Jesus was the Christ. And these early Christians among the Hebrews were suffering, and many of them were being tempted to go back to a religion in Judaism, where at least they had a temple they could see. See, the church, did you know the New Testament church doesn't say anything about buildings? We got a nice building here at Cool Springs, but did you know the church was on this earth for 300 years before there was ever a church building? You know where the church met? It met in the people's homes, home churches, or out in the groves, you know, oak groves. I suspect they met under the groves down there before they ever had a building. The Jews were tempted to go back to Judaism, where they had this fabulous temple. And they had a priesthood that they could actually see with their eyes. And they were tempted to go back, instead of living by faith, worshiping God without a building, and having a priest in heaven they couldn't see. They were tempted to go back to Judaism. And Paul is writing them this marvelous letter. I tell you, sometimes I would encourage you all to just read the book of Hebrews. I wish we could just study through the book of Hebrews together. I'm telling you, it is a marvelous book. But you get over to the end of it, and Paul says, let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. How many of y'all today want more and more and more of what you've already got enough of? Can I get a witness from anybody in the house today? You know why they have all these storage buildings all over Georgia? Because people have got a lot more than they got room for in their houses. And when they auction them off, a lot of times the people don't even know what's in them. And we're covetous. We want more and more and more of what we've already got. I want to tell you what, beloved. Contentment with godliness is great gain. To learn to be content with what you've got. And don't be covetous of what your neighbor's got. Don't be covetous of their house, their car, their kids, their looks, their clothes, their job. Don't be covetous. Paul would say, let your conversation be without covetousness. I said here recently that, you know, if complaining would straighten America out, America would be perfect. Because I'm telling you, citizens all over this land complain about the government. We complain about... We complain, a lot of people, about their house, their car, their wife, their husband, their kids, their parents, their jobs, their neighbors. Any of y'all ever complain about anything? The weather? Come on, any of y'all ever complain? Complaining is an easily besetting sin. And if complaining would fix things, everything would be fixed. But I'm going to tell you, complaining is not praying. When you're complaining to God, that's not praying. I said this recently. If you got an old car and it breaks down, you can go to your Heavenly Father and say, Father, my car is broke and I need it. I need a way to go. Would you please help me to get it fixed? Or even better yet, if you want to, you can just give me another one. That's not complaining. That is praying. Y'all see the difference? Come on, folks. I like to see a little expression. Y'all don't have to say amen. You can just wave at me. I got a wave back there. There's another one. Y'all are plugged in. These are plugged in. Complaining is not praying. Praying is going to your Heavenly Father when you've got a problem and saying, Father, I need help. And I'm not wanting what other people have got. But I need this. I need that. If you're sick, you can go to Him and say, Father, be my great physician. So Paul would say, let your conversation be without covetousness. I love that. And then he says that God has promised. How many of y'all are interested in what this sovereign, eternal, all-powerful God has promised you? Come on now. The government, they can make a lot of promises. They don't keep a lot of them. I'm telling you about a God who keeps his promises. He has promised never, never to leave us nor forsake us. You know what the word never means? It means, you know what it means in Swahili? Greek? Y'all are going to think I'm real smart now because I know what it means in Latin. I know what it means in all languages. It means never. Y'all get it? God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love that. When Paul and Silas were in prison, in the innermost stocks, bound in chains, what were they doing? Were they complaining to God and saying, now God, you know we've been faithful. We've given our lives to your service. We've traveled the Roman Empire preaching and doing without. And now you let us end up in jail. What kind of God are you? Is that what they did? No. You know what they were doing at midnight? They were singing one of the old songs, I'm sure, from the Psalms of David. They were singing and praising God. And you know what happened? The chains fell off and the gates opened. And I've told people, y'all can praise your way out of trouble. Instead of just getting the money grubs and down and out, just begin to count your blessings. Name them one by one. How many of y'all have got good eyesight? How many of y'all can hear? How many of y'all have taste buds? You know, my brother Dan had COVID. He hadn't got his taste or smell back yet. And he's missing it. How many of y'all got your taste? How many of y'all got your five senses? How many of y'all got two hands, two arms, two legs? How many of us are blessed? I know people who don't have all that. I know blind people. I know deaf people. I know crippled people. And most of them are just praising God. So Paul would say, let your conversation be without covetousness. For he has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my help. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's been helping me since I was 15 years old, made my first effort to speak in the name of the Lord at the age of 15. And you know, my testimony is this morning at the age of 72, his grace is sufficient. I love the third verse of Amazing Grace. It used to be one of my themes. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Do y'all believe God is worthy of glory? And I'm going to tell you, if you ever see this, you probably not even going to ever want to miss another church service. Oh, now I'm going to step on a toe or two. Y'all better pull back. See, If this is God, and we believe it is, and this building is dedicated, I remember when this building was erected. Some of y'all do. It was dedicated to the glory of God. We don't have dances over here. We don't have auctions. This building is dedicated to the glory of God. And when these doors are open for worship, you and I need to be here. Because he's worthy. It's all right to go to the ball game, but I doubt he's going to be glorified there. Right here, he gets all the glory. Thank you all for your wonderful attention.